Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit. Today we celebrate the memory of the prophet Obadiah. Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. It's the third shortest book in the Bible. It consists of only one chapter, and so it's a very quick read. The name Obadiah means servant of the Lord or servant of Yahweh. It's kind of similar in some ways to the Arabic word Abdullah, the name, but although it's not Allah, but it's Yahweh, that's the object of the servant. The prophet Obadiah prophesied against the Edomites, and the Edomites were the descendants of Esau. If you read back in Genesis, you see that Jacob and Esau were twin brothers. Esau came out first. But Jacob had his hand on his heel, so they were fighting even in their mother's womb. They were striving one against another for who was going to be the one that was going to be the leader of the tribe. And of course, we know the story about how Esau, because he was a hunter and he was a fairly careless person and didn't really take things seriously, sold his birthright for a pot of stew, and then Jacob tricked his father into giving him the blessing before he died, rather than his brother Esau. And so these two, the descendants of these two brothers, had a sense of their kinship, but they also had a sense of animosity that went back to their forebears. At the time of the Exodus, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, because they didn't want to go straight into the land of Canaan, they sort of went around the southern part of it. They came at a certain point to the Edomites, and they said, you know, we're your kinsmen. We've come out of Egypt where we suffered greatly, and we're just asking to pass through. We don't intend to take anything. If we damage anything, we'll pay you for it. If our cattle drink any water out of your wells, we'll pay you for it. But the Edomites came out in force and resisted them. But because of the fact that they were kinsmen, the Israelites didn't attack them as they did other peoples who opposed them on the way. They wiped out other tribes that withstood them on their way to the promised land, but the Edomites, they left alone. They just simply went around them. During the time of King David, the Edomites were subjugated to the Israelites. They were sort of a vassal state, and that continued up until the time after the kingdom was divided, as we talked about last week. One of the kings of Judah was Jehoram, and during his reign, it was when the Edomites rebelled and set up their own king. And with a confederation of some other surrounding tribes, they laid waste to the kingdom of Judah and looted the city of Jerusalem. Later on in time, after the northern kingdom had been destroyed by the Assyrians, when the Babylonians laid siege to Jerusalem and were about to destroy Jerusalem, the Edomites, who up until that time had been sitting back and hadn't offered any assistance to the Jews, decided to throw in their lots with the Babylonians because they knew who was going to win, so they figured they might as well get some profit from it. And so they helped the Babylonians in their destruction and their looting of the city. And they also blocked off the routes of escape that the refugees from Jerusalem were trying to take. And they would capture these people and sell them into slavery, in many cases back to the Babylonians. That's the reason why in the psalm that we sing in the preparatory Sundays of Great Lent by the waters of Babylon, that's why you have the phrase, "Remember, O Lord, the sons of Edom, in the day of Jerusalem, who said, lay waste her even to the foundations thereof." So this was a bitter remembrance of this betrayal by the Edomites of the Jews at this crucial time in their life. If you try to imagine the sense of betrayal that the Jews had, if you could imagine if the United States was invaded by some foreign superpower, and just as it became clear that the United States was going to lose, that it was going to be conquered if the Canadians invaded from the north, and they were even worse than the power that was invading the United States and their brutality and the treatment that they gave of our people, we would really remember that, because we'd always thought the Canadians were nice and friendly, but here they are taking advantage of the situation. Well, fortunately, that hasn't happened, but if it did, you can imagine the sense of betrayal that we would have. So the prophecy of Obadiah is directed at the Edomites, and it's pronouncing the judgment of God upon them. "Thus saith the Lord God concerning Edom, We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. This is sort of God saying that what happened in the case of the Jews is going to happen to you, that other nations are going to rise up all at one time, and they're going to lay waste to you, just as you did to the Jews. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Though you ascend as high as an eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. The Edomites lived in an area that was very mountainous, and they had fortresses that they thought were impregnable. The city of Petra, that you've probably seen in history books, that's carved out of rocks. Most of those buildings were actually carved later by the Nabataeans, which we'll get to later. But that city was the capital of the Edomite kingdom. And so they felt very smug, and they were a very warlike people. And so they figured, who can mess with us? We don't have anything to worry about. But God is saying, no matter how secure you think you are, I'm gonna reach and I'm going to grab you and take you down. In some ways, it's similar to what we read in the gospel about the rich fool who had everything and thought, you know, hey, everything's going great. I'll tear down these barns and build new ones and save up for my retirement, thinking that nothing could knock the wind out of his sails, nothing could change his plans. And then God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And also in the Magnificat, the song of the Theotokos, we hear this line, he hath put down the mighty from their seat and exalted them of low degree. God has a habit of bringing down those that think that they can't be brought down. People who, in their pride, think that they can do whatever they want to do and that not even God can take them down. If thieves had come to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you will be cut off. Would they not have stolen till they had enough? If gatherers had come to you, would they not have left some gleanings? So he's saying if thieves came to you, they would probably not take everything. They would take as much as they wanted, but if they would leave, and they would leave you something. Or people who pick grapes, they always leave a little bit behind them. But he says, oh, how Esau shall be searched out, how his hidden treasure shall be sought after. All the men in your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail upon you. These are the people that they made an alliance with against the Jews. Those very same people would betray them and be their destruction. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from Edom and understanding from the mountains of Esau? Then your mighty man, O Teman, shall be dismayed. Teman is a city in Edom, another city. To the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. For violence against your brother Jacob, shame shall cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. In the day that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers captured his forces, when foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were as one of them. But you should not have gazed on the day of your brother, in the day of his captivity. Nor should you have rejoiced over the children of Judah in the day of their destruction. Nor should you have spoken proudly in the day of distress. You should not have entered the gates of my people in the day of their calamity. Indeed, you should not have gazed on their afflictions in the day of their calamity, nor laid hands on their substance in the day of their calamity. You should not have stood at the crossroads to cut off those among them who escaped, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. For the day of the Lord upon all nations is near. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reprisal shall return upon your own head. For as you drank on my holy mountain, so shall all the nations drink continually. Yea, they shall drink and swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. So what he's saying is what you've done will come back upon you. As a matter of fact, this prophecy was fulfilled during the time of the Maccabees. The Maccabees, after they had cast off the yoke of the Seleucid Empire, then invaded into Edom and subjugated those people. And at the same time, the Nabataeans and other Arab tribesmen that lived out there pushed them out of their main stronghold. So the Edomites came to settle among the Jews in what's now the southern part of Israel, and their strongholds were in the hands of other people. So the city of Petra, where you see those stone-carved buildings, most of those were done by the Nabataeans after the Edomites had been cast out of that city. So these words were fulfilled literally about 600 years after the prophet Obadiah uttered this prophecy. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. The house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau shall be stubble. They shall kindle them and devour them, and no survivor shall remain of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. The Edomites, as I said, they moved into the southern part of what's now Israel or Palestine, and they were somewhat forcibly, as the histories record, made to accept the Jewish faith, to be circumcised, and they merged with the Jewish people over the objection of some rabbis, but the Maccabean rulers decided that was the way it was going to be, and it was. So any Edomite descendants that we have today don't even recognize themselves as being Edomites. They're actually Jews, the very people that they persecuted and that they betrayed. And the name of Edom has been totally wiped off the face of the earth. The prophecy ends with these words, "And they that escape shall go from Mount Zion." In other words, when it says they that escape, the remnant, the people who return from captivity, "shall go from Mount Zion to take vengeance on the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's." The fathers apply this prophecy primarily to heretics, because heretics, like Esau, have a common kinship of ancestry, you might say, with Orthodox Christians. They have a connection. And so the fathers apply many of these sayings to the heretics. And in history, you can see some examples of where this would be a very vividly true. For example, the sacking of Constantinople by the Crusaders, or more recently, we could talk about what the Croatian Ustashi did to the Serbs. But they also applied this prophecy to the proud in general. Anyone who is prideful, this prophecy has application to, and particularly those that are indifferent to the suffering of those that are around them and won't lift a finger to help them, and especially those that when they see other people who are being picked on, people are being kicked while they're down, people who have reached a very low point in their life, when someone sees that and decides to join in on it, to not defend that person, to not stand up for that person, but instead to take advantage of that situation, this prophecy condemns that. We should always be very thoughtful about when we see other people who are suffering and when they're going through difficult times. We should never give in to the temptation to rejoice in their calamity, even if we feel like they've done bad things to us or we have reasons why we don't like them. We should never give in to that, because when someone is down, that's when a real Christian shows mercy and not only does not join in on the fun with those that are picking on this person, but instead stands up and defends them, even when that person maybe has not given them any reason to do so. Prophet Obadiah said, "As you have done, it shall be done to you." This is sort of similar in some respects to the Golden Rule. The Golden Rule says, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." That's the positive side of it. That's the blessing side of it. But the curse side of it is, if you don't do to others as you would have them do unto you, then God is going to do to you as you have done to others. And so we need to be mindful of that and be merciful so that we might receive mercy. Amen.